beyond stately good looks and a very accurate rifle. He was fairly well known as a hunter and trapper and trader among the Indians, and when he appeared at the fort in his suit of antelope skin, with the finest beaded moccasins on his feet and his long hair flowing down over his shoulders, of course he took the eye of the ladies. So he married my mother. I was born. And 3 months later, he was killed by a drunken Comanche. Ah, I'm glad that I was an infant then, and not able to understand the grief of my mother. But as long as I knew her, she could never speak of my father without tears in her eyes. He had died in the very height of their romance. He was still a great and glorious man to her. And there she was, left with the only person in the world that possessed a drop of his blood, her baby boy. It made that baby boy a sacred thing. She felt that she was far from good enough to deserve such a great treasure, and she began to make herself over so that she should be able to rear me as I ought to be reared. If my father had lived, I would have been turned out in his own pattern, a trader, hunter, and a jolly happy fellow. But that would not suit my mother now. She began to read and study and improve herself, and as I grew old enough for teaching, she began to teach me, desperately and reverently and endlessly. I always had to have a book in my hands. I could read and write when I was 4, when I should have been rolling in the dust and pulling the hair of the other boys in the fort. When I was 6, I was quite a scholar, and when I was 10, I was really getting on with my books. And the priest at the fort had taken over part of my studies and was prepared to carry them on past the point where my mother could have taken them. Then one day my uncle, Stephen Larkin, came into my life with a strong hand. He was a typical frontiersman. There was no real malice in him, but he could hardly speak without swearing, and he told my mother frankly that she was ruining me. She was amazed. She felt that what she had been doing for me should be the admiration of the world. And though she didn't say so, she let my uncle understand her pride. He merely snorted. "There's not a boy in that street," he said, "who can't thrash him." My mother went to the window and looked out. The street was filled with children.
"Nonsense," she said at last. "Isn't he the true son of his father?"
"Not even a little bit," said Uncle Steve. "The man you married was the straightest shooting, hardest riding, fastest hitting man on the prairies. And you've got a boy that's only the son of a book. Open him up and what's inside of him. Just print." My mother turned around to me with fire in her eyes. She was a frontierswoman herself. She would rather have seen a man dead than shamed with cowardice.
"Are you afraid of any of those boys?" she asked.
I was, horribly. But I merely smiled. "Of course I was not," I said.
"There you are, Stephen," she said.
"Stuff," Uncle Steve blurted out. "It's easy enough to talk like that, but the little rat is getting blue around the gills. Look here, Sammy."
"His name is Samuel," corrected my mother coldly.
"Sammy," said Uncle Steve. "You see that kid out there with the freckled nose and the black stringy hair? Do you dare go out and slap his face? He's shorter than you are." Of course he was, but a great deal broader and 10 times as muscular. He was the terror of the whole town. I closed my eyes, and then I told myself that, after all, it couldn't last long, because the first blow would knock me out of time. So I walked out the door and slapped the face of the hero. He was too surprised to do a thing for a moment, and then he started in and tore me to ribbons. He knocked me into the fence, where my jacket caught on a picket and held me up so that I couldn't slip down into the dust. And there I hung and got a lambasting. I think that the second or third punch knocked my wits away. Finally, my uncle came out and picked me off the fence and carried me into the house, and with a white face, my mother began to sponge my cuts and bruises. As I came to, the first phrase that I could understand was my mother saying,
"He didn't cry out once for help."
"No," said my uncle. "He took his licking as game as I ever seen. But just the same, it was a licking." My mother was silent, and with my swollen eyes shut and 100 pains darting through my body, I realized that the fence picket and the senselessness together had held me up and made a hero of me in the eyes of my family. I felt a guilty joy until I heard my uncle say, "We're going to have this out of him.